right. It is Tuesday, November 14, 2023, 6 p.m. I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Assembly Member Robbins. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assembly Members Robbins.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Audison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Howell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Ceremonial matters. Tonight we've got a very wonderful ceremonial matter, and it involves our Wrangell High School men's cross country team. And this is the proclamation. Whereas the Wolves had another historic season and finished first in the Region 5 championship meet and first in the state of Alaska Division 3 cross country championships, and whereas the members of the Wrangell men's cross-country regional and state teams were Boomchain Laux, Keegan Hansen, Daniel Harrison, Ian Nelson, Jackson Carney, Jackson Powers, Everett Meisner, Cooper Powers, and Coach Valarma. And whereas all varsity scorers placed in the top 20 in the 80-runner field at the Alaska State Championship, and Boomchain Laux became the second Wolf in history to win an individual state champion title following Daniel Harrison's individual title last season, and whereas the hard work, grit, and discipline of the Wolves allowed them to beat many 3A and 4A schools in the regular season, and they have solidified their spot as one of the best teams in the state of Alaska for all divisions. Now, therefore, I, Patricia Gilbert, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on behalf of the citizens of the City and Borough of Wrangell, congratulate these fine young athletes for their achievement and sportsmanship and commend them on their representation of the community of Wrangell. Signed and sealed on behalf of the city on the 14th day of November 2023. We applaud you. We have a beautiful trophy up here. I want to present this original proclamation to Coach Valarma. Coach Valarma has some copies of the proclamation for you. We're going to take a 5-minute recess so we can congratulate you personally. And I believe there's a treat for you in the kitchen. So again, congratulations. What a wonderful representation for Wrangell.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Don't just do
But you guys gotta come back and stay for the meeting.
The whole thing, and nothing about the meeting.
It'll be educational.
I can just see him in algebra class all the time.
Causing trouble.
All right, we will resume the meeting. Persons to be heard. We do have an email correspondence for a community member. We have persons to be heard here. Okay, Dorothea Rooney. Would you like to speak now or?
Sure. I'll go now.
All right.
I got to wear these now, sorry. Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council members. Most of all of you know me, so I'm not even going to say my name. I'm a longtime resident in Wrangell, and I've come here to talk to you about the importance of getting someone certified to euthanize animals. I would like to share a short summary of what happened to my family recently, so you might understand the urgency of this need to have someone certified. Recently, my sister's 13-year-old dog, Lily Mae, suddenly became paralyzed from the waist down. My sister reached out to the vet contact here in town, but was told he was off island for another 2 weeks. For close to 2 weeks, my sister took care of Lily's needs as best as she could. As my sister and mother are low income, they could not afford to fly a pet off island to be euthanized, or would they even consider doing so to Lily? As she was my mother's comfort dog, and Lily had high anxiety when she was not near my mother. Lily was alert and scared, and it was a decision made by my sister and my mother that they would also not put Lily through more trauma by being pulled out of her home, which they would have needed multiple people to carry her down 40 stairs and then to be driven out of city limits to be put down by a gun, which can go very wrong. During this time, we reached out to many entities for help, but there was no one on the island for help in the situation. The Sitka Veterinary Clinic was very responsive and caring, and they suggested an overdose. Lily was a large dog, so 25 oxycodone did nothing. We tried other things they suggested, but only so much can be done by phone. Lily's hemorrhaging and pain increased, and my 90-year-old mother and sister's emotional state was at a health risk. On Sunday, November 12th, I convinced my sister to let me put Lily out of her pain. I placed a plastic bag over Lily's head, ending her life in a way she did not deserve. So, sorry. You might judge us and say we should have put Lily down sooner when the vet was in town, but until 2 weeks ago, she was fine. I put my dog, Cabela, down too soon, just for the simple reason of having to plan around the vet's schedule. I've spoken to many members in this community that have had to endure this as well. It doesn't have to be this way. Per state laws, getting someone certified to euthanize animals has to go through the city. I spoke to Lieutenant Smith, and he agrees we need someone. I left a message for Chief Rathke Monday, but I have not heard from him, and I believe he is now gone for 3 weeks. I know the city of Wrangell does not have animal control agent, and it's always been laid on the Wrangell Police Department, but there is no reason why we cannot throw it out to other entities that might have one or two caring people that would step up, perhaps EMTs that are more qualified and have medical training. If it's the funding for the training and licensing, I can raise the money. I know a lot of people don't want to take a job like that on, but the alternative is a hell of a lot worse, and I pray no person or animal will ever have to go through this again. So please consider making this a priority. I know I'm going to. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and we're sorry for your loss. Thank you. Is there any other public testimony? All right. Amendments to the agenda? Clerk?
We did receive a request from the SARA board for the mayor to nominate a individual on the assembly to be considered as for the municipal seat on the board of directors. And so I would like to, and I just received that letter yesterday, so I apologize it wasn't on the agenda officially, but I would like that to be considered as item 10, I believe it's 10C on the agenda this evening.
All right. Pending no objection from the assembly, item 10C. Any other amendments to the agenda? All right, seeing none, conflict of interest. Assemblymember Robbins?
I may have two conflicts of interest, resolution 11-23-1818 and 11-23-1819, approval of funds for school district repairs, and I am the vice president of the school board.
Yes, and I believe even though you're advocating for the school at the same time as you're advocating for the assembly, I don't think, because it's not a sure deal, so I'm going to excuse you from that conflict. The budget would be a different manner. And then on item, the next one, 1819, for the same reason, I'm going to absolve you from any conflict. Thank you for announcing that. Any other conflicts of interest? All right, seeing none, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison to approve consent agenda as submitted. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes, assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 7, borough manager's report.
Madam Mayor, Assembly, so I think it's already been in the paper, but we did receive word that we are getting $421,000 from DOT on the PIDP funding to support the planning of the 6 mile property. So that's great to get that additional amount. So it'll go a long ways in trying to get some of the planning done for that property out there. We met and developed a preliminary proposal for the sale of the Phase 1 Aldertop lots, and this plan will go before the Economic Development Board and Planning and Zoning for review and input, and then once that final draft has been completed for the boards, it will go for legal review before coming to the Assembly for approval. But that will go for legal review as well to make sure that everything that we're proposing is above board. And we had a meeting with Senator Stedman yesterday, November 13th, to discuss the school capital projects budget from the state and our capital project priorities as well. And we also provided the senator a tour of the 6 mile property, Aldertop subdivision, the water treatment plant, and the public safety building. And then it's just good to be able to talk and go through, and appreciate the assembly members who showed up as well, just to go through all of our priorities, and then also just to kind of get a feel for what some of the priorities will be this year for the budget as well. So I think that was a good insight for all of us to have that meeting. And I really appreciate Senator Stedman for taking the time to be here and have that conversation with us. So thanks to Senator Stedman. So they broke ground on the water treatment plant today. So they started mobilizing there today for the water treatment plant. So great to see that project getting started and getting moving. And project is estimated to take about 15 months for completion. And I would say to the public, just to be careful on Wood Street. There will be a lot of truck traffic in that area. So those going to the hospital, around the hospital, or WCA, or the Alpine as well. A lot of truck movement in that area over the next couple months. So just be cautious of it and be aware of it as you're going onto that street. For the library, they got the new AWE Learning Literacy Stations in. So those arrived with 85 plus streaming aligned award-winning educational games for the new workstation. So appreciate the going after that grant money and getting it and getting those installed. So good job, Sarah, on that one. For Parks and Rec, Aaron Gross has accepted the Parks Custodian Light Maintenance, and he began work on October 24th. So great to have him on board and been working there and already starting to do some of the maintenance that's going on there. And also, I'll post this in the on the website as well, but I really appreciate the list of all the volunteers that Lucy put out here, just kind of naming everybody, just showing how many people volunteer for Parks and Rec. And so that'll be in this report as well, just showing everyone's name. So appreciate all the volunteers. It does takes a lot of people for all the programs that are being run there. So I appreciate all the volunteers who take their time to help out and just help out throughout the community as well. So we do have a lot of volunteers in this community. So thank you to all of them. And the community center continues to see an increase in usage with well over 700 users during the month of September and close to 850 in October. So, wow. So good use of the community center. So some of the parks and trails and the green spaces, Lucy has kind of been looking at some of the Shoemaker RV site and just figuring out ways we could possibly increase the usage out there. And I know we don't get a whole lot of RV usage. So one of the possible ideas that she's kind of looking at right now is, maybe some micro cabins, out there to possibly rent out. So looking different ideas, but we'll continue to, she's going to continue to research that and see if there's different ways we could use that property out there for recreation. Except we're not seeing a ton of usage for the RVs right now. She's also been working on a playground replacement committee. So she's putting out questionnaires, trying to identify needs, and then also trying to create some funding initiatives for some of the playgrounds as well. The Mount Dewey Trail needs a lot of work. So the metal mesh that's there right now, it's getting pretty slick and pretty worn down. So I think they're actually working with the Forest Service to kind of get some better ideas from the Forest Service on what we can do. And I think they've gone more to like a netting material on a lot of the trails. So we'll work with them to figure out some alternatives other than the metal mesh that's there now to reduce some of the hazard of being slick. The volunteer trail has several areas where drainage is an issue, and they're working with the Forest Service trail crew on that as well to try to figure out some ways we can reduce some of those areas. Lane Fitzgerald worked with Glenn Decker with the Wrangell Island Tree Service as well, just to kind of go along some of the trails, Mount Dewey Trail, Nature Trail, City Park, Petroglyph Beach, and Shoemaker, just to kind of look at all the trees and try to identify the high hazard trees. So they'll, you know, present that report and figure out what we need to take down to try to reduce some of the hazards there. And then they're also working with the Skiing Sportsmen's Association to develop a plan to install the power at the shooting range site, which will aid in the development of the future skeet and trap range out there.
That's good. So that's all I got. Okay. Any questions? All right. Do we have an economic development report for tonight? Or if I...
Sorry, are you?
Thank you, librarian.
Thank you.
After
you.
Good work.
Good evening, everybody. A few additions to what Jeff reported. We have the SHSP grant award, $87,900. That's before you tonight to accept that funding for moving forward. That's the community addressing project. Mason, Amber, and I worked together last week to develop an attack plan for that, so we're pretty excited. That's been a long time coming and will aid in the safety of our community. Obviously, you know, on Thursday at 5:30, we have the Aldertop Village land sale planning session with the Economic Development Board. Bob and I will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30 just to make sure we're on our A game for facilitation, and we provide opportunity for everybody to contribute. We had one failure in our grant proposals this year where we received notice from the RAISE grant, which was to cover the Inner Harbor and Wrangell Harbor Basin project. And we met with one of the grant administrators, Amber and I, and got some really great feedback from RAISE. We've also scheduled a meeting with them when we go to D.C. in December so that we get a little bit more face-to-face time. They're familiar with us. But we feel pretty confidently about resubmitting that grant. We may tailor the scope of the project But we have some concrete feedback so that we can be a little bit more successful next year. Tomorrow we have a Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau meeting at noon to 1:30. We're approving the first of our marketing plans for tourism and borough projects and other initiatives underway. So that's exciting, and we'll also start talking about the criteria for developing a tourism management plan, which I've referenced to you in our last update. In December, you'll have two lease agreements before you, the St. Francis Animal Shelter lease agreement up on the impound lot. We'll have shared space for that. And then we'll have the prime lease and sublease agreements for Muskeg Meadows and State DOT. So that's coming forward. In January, we will be transitioning to the new platform for our ArcGIS software. Amber Aldad and Tom Waiter and I have completed training for that and are putting our data plan together so that we can transition. And let me see. Wanted to acknowledge that tonight is Jeff's last assembly meeting as our borough manager. So just wanted to thank Jeff for his leadership. I think we can all agree he was a stabilizer post-COVID, had a mind for maintenance and project planning, and I think we're kind of at an equilibrium now where we know what our resources are, what our needs are, and have a good project plan, so I appreciate that. You'll be missed, and we're excited for your new journey, and when your house is finished, so you can sit back and relax and enjoy that dream. And then just wanted to say thank you to Amber and Kim and Mason, who have been super helpful as I've transitioned into Carol's position. I think Amber and Kim especially are one of your most valuable, or two of your most valuable team members in terms of historical context, all the knowing of, you know, history and projects and plats and deeds and land transfer, like everything, really. So very grateful for those two, and excited about Mason taking the helm. There's a lot on the horizon for us. There's good momentum. We appreciate all of you pushing for those things. It's exciting times for the borough right now. So let's hope that we can keep that gain and deliver on some pretty profound initiatives throughout the next year. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Thank you, Kate Thomas.
You bet.
Thank you. And Senator Steadman did remark on our gifted administrative team. He was very impressed with the workshop that we had with him.
Good.
So we accomplished quite a bit, and there was no wasted time.
We learned from him as well. He gave
yes.
us some great insight, which has been documented and will help in our future successes. So we thank him as well.
Yes, yes. And financial report, we don't have Mason here, so we'll deal with that in December.
Yes.
All right, any questions, Assembly, before I move on? All right, borough clerk's report, please.
Okay, sure, mine's quick. So like economic development director Thomas stated, there will be the Aldertot meeting with economic development board on Thursday at 5:30. Very excited about that. Great task for that board, for sure. And then just wanted to remind the Assembly and the public that there is only one meeting this month, and then there is only one meeting next month. So the meeting in December will be on the 12th. And then also thank everybody who came last night for the parliamentary OMA training. If anybody did not come and wants the presentation, I have it. I can provide that, no problem. I thought it was really well attended. You know, it always seems like a small group, but I don't look at it that way. I look at the people who did come, and that matters to me. So I was very pleased. And then also reminding the public, the Assembly and such, that AML is coming up, and that we have Mayor Gilbert, Vice Mayor Powell, and also Assembly Member Morrison going to AML this year. And this year I will be also going to AML. So that is all I have.
Any questions, Assembly? All right. right. Mayor and Assembly Business. Assembly Member Powell.
I was in the meeting, I think it was yesterday, with Senator Stedman, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it was yesterday.
I've had so many meetings, I can't remember what meeting I'm going to. There's a couple things that came out of that for me. Boat ramp.
Yes.
I was kind of excited that he's kind of seemed like there was a lot of money that was not taken care of or not given. I'd really like to see us maybe pursue that, you know, maybe something like that. Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was amazed that he said that. So I would like to maybe submit again, hopefully. and then I was very concerned and would like more information on what he was saying about Tideland lease compared to submerged lands.
Submerged lease, yeah.
I'd really like some more information on that. I mean, I tried to do a little bit on it. It's kind of vague. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know. I would really like some more information on that to see what our liabilities are and everything if we have some.
May I?
Yeah, if you go to the microphone,
yes.
Please.
Yes.
We have Kate Thomas at the microphone.
When we did go to the mill property yesterday, we talked through that a little bit more, and that's one of our top priorities to address ownership of that, processes, and how we'll facilitate the cleanup, especially going to D.C. as we're promoting development of that property and that we're business ready for it. We want to make sure that we have an attack plan or at least a narrative to describe that because that's a missing link. Obviously. So that is a priority. I just wanted to address that.
Thank you.
Ease your concerns a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for you?
I'm good.
Okay, Assembly Member Morrison.
I was just going to say, I'm like Dave. I got online and tried to figure out what the difference was and what the delineation between tidelands and submerged lands, and it doesn't sound like it's very clear out there. So if we get that straightened out and get that cleaned up, that would be fantastic. As long as we don't have to pay for it.
Anything else? On behalf of the Assembly, I'd like to thank our borough manager. This is his last official meeting. We can't even call a special meeting to get him back in, but I understand you'll be taking vacation after Friday, but you'll still be available if we have urgent questions. So we wish you well and thank you for your service and for getting us on a forward path. And I agree with the administrative team. We've got momentum, Assembly, and we are driving the agenda that we set for ourselves. Infrastructure and economic development, and as long as we stay strong, we can't go wrong. It should be our new motto.
thank you
very much. All right, next item, Mayor and Assembly appointments. Item A, appointment of two Assembly members to review the borough manager resumes as they come in to determine who will be selected for interviewing by the Assembly. I would like to have two volunteers. Okay, Vice Mayor Powell and Assembly Member Dalrymple.
When would that be, Pat?
I will leave it up to you. We do have a few resumes coming in, but I would have you two get together with the clerk and on a regular basis and go through those resumes.
November, December?
I would probably at the end of each month.
Okay.
I think I would do that. And just systematically, the job is open until it's filled.
Gotcha.
That's the status. Yes, and clerk?
If it's what I could do, I'll print out all of the resumes that we have right now and put it in a packet, and I will contact you to come.
Okay.
And in terms of viewing, the Assembly has the ability to review resumes at any time. What about staff?
Yep.
Okay.
They're open to the public.
So they're open to the public.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
And that if staff wants to give input or anyone wants to give input, we will have this team try to come up with a mechanism for that if you so desire. Okay. All right, item B, SEPA board appointments. We need one voting member and one alternate member. We had four people apply for this position, and with assembly approval, I'm going to appoint Steve Przunka as the voting member representing Wrangell, and Mason Villarma as the alternate non-voting member. Any assembly member object? Okay, hearing none, have the record reflect the assembly approved. Item C, this is the new item that we put in, SSRAA, the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. We need a representative to apply for a position on the board, and with the assembly approval, I'd like to appoint Assembly Member Dalrymple for that appointment. All right. Assembly Member Morrison.
Just a quick question. Have we had someone from the borough before on this board?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You were on.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Right. I remember.
Okay. Yeah. Vice Mayor Powell was on there.
And just to be clear, this is a nomination. It's an appointment. So the nomination, I will contact the SARA administration and submit Assembly Member Dalrymple's name for consideration, and they are going to be making that appointment before their January meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Do they require a resume or anything, or just our recommendation?
No, just our recommendation.
Okay.
And I have a form letter.
All right. Thank you. All right. That completes item 10. 11, public hearing. There is none. Unfinished business. Item 12, we have none. So item 13A, new business, this is on page 30. A, ordinance number 1047 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding chapter 20.53, accessory dwelling units, amending chapter 20.08, definitions, and amending several sections in Title 20, zoning, to add and reference accessory dwelling units to the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve the first reading of Ordinance Number 1047 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on December 12, 2023.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Morrison, second by Otteson. Administrative report, please.
Kate Thomas did a ton of work on this, so I'll let her kind of go through a little bit.
Thank you. Accessory dwelling unit code, can't take very much credit for it. Carol and the Planning and Zoning Commission have been working on this for the last year. I kind of picked it up in its draft form and worked with the crew to finalize things. It's gone through several iterations and review with our attorney, and we even received public comment during our last approval at the commission level and made an amendment to our original motion to allow for a little more flexibility. Originally, ADUs, accessory dwelling units, were limited to lots that were a minimum of 10,000 square feet, which would preclude some people from developing an apartment over their garage when the garage already exists. So we changed that metric a little bit, and there's an equation, makes it a little bit more complicated for review, but does allow for more flexibility to the resident, and that's our end goal, is to maximize support of the individual to the degree possible while taking consideration of the whole. The only other thing that I could state about it is its first approval is in the building permit process. So we're going to do a little bit more promotion and education so that people understand building permits requirements and conditional use requirements if those are necessary. If you do build an accessory dwelling unit and you want to utilize it for short-term rentals, you still need a conditional use permit to do that. So that's important for the public to understand as people are starting to rent out their property, Airbnb, they need to have a conditional use permit. It's $100 to do that. and $300 if you do it after the fact. Same thing for building permits. There's an initial cost, and if you start building and we catch wind of it, issue you a requirement or notice for a permit, it's an added fee for that. So just want to remind folks of that. And thanks to Kim for helping me in the ordinance and, again, that asset that I so desperately need from time to time. any questions for me on
Assemblymember Morrison?
I just have one. How is there a big interest in this?
Initially there was, and I think that's what ignited it for people. And there were limitations in the code. The code wasn't clearly laid out for it. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
And for the public, can you just give some highlights? For instance, I've been asked, could you put a trailer on your property and call it an accessory dwelling?
No, you need to have a permanent foundation.
Okay.
So a couple highlights. One, you have to have a building permit. Two, you have to submit building plans with that permit, and then we account for the total size of the development against the lot size and make sure that maximum lot coverage is not exceeded. ADUs are limited to 800 square feet per unit. They can be connected to the water and sewer of the primary residence, but they must be visually subordinate to the primary residence, meaning smaller and set back from the front property line. I mean, those are really the most material highlights.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, and again, the motion is to for first reading of this ordinance. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, page 39, resolution number 11-23-1817 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, accepting a grant in the amount of $87,970.08 from the 2023 Alaska State Homeland Security Program for the E-911 System Addressing Identification Project.
Move to approve resolution number 11-23-1817.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson. Administrative report on this. We heard a little bit of this.
All right, it was really good to get this grant, and it really kind of addresses the address problem we have here in Wrangell. So right now we currently don't have an address system that's actually recognized. So like our 911 system, when there's call outs, there's no address to go to. So that's really what the bigger problem is. And I think anyone who's tried to get something shipped to their house doesn't recognize it even on that part of it. So definitely be great to get this, especially from the 911 emergency call out. It's really gonna fix a problem that we have.
And you're right, this has been a problem for many, many years, people trying to get something delivered to their home. And this is Homeland Security, and this is for security and emergency operations. And, you know, the first thing I thought of when I saw this coming before us was the NICSL system. If we could wrap in the NICSL system, and it does address that in the terms of this grant. So we're currently have a subscription for NICSL, but we have not utilized it to the full extent that I think we should. So I think this is good. Any questions or comments, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please. This
yes.
is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, this is on page 53, Assembly, resolution number 11-23-1818 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget in the capital improvement plan by transferring $610,500 from the Secure Rural School Fund to the Stikine Middle School Roof Replacement Project account and authorizing its expenditure as local match funding for the Community Development Block Grant for said property.
Move to approve resolution number 11-23-1818.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Report, please.
Mayor, so this is actually kind of tied to 1819 as well. So it's basically just setting aside the funding to be able to apply for the CDBG grant that's on the next one, which would be to for replacement of the roof for the middle school.
Right, and this is approximately at least 25% match. I left my notes at home, but I'm going from memory. And the total project is scheduled to be a little over $1 million, $1.4 million. So we have this. Any questions or comments, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, resolution number 11-23-1819 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing participation in the Community Development Block Grant Program for the Stikine Middle School Roof Replacement Project.
Move to approve resolution number 11-23-1819.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer. Report, please.
And this is just allowing us to apply for the CDBG grant for the $850,000 for the roof project.
Right, and we had this was on our last meeting, and there were several projects to be selected from, and administrative team carefully prioritized them for us so that we had the best shot at getting this money. So this will help on school repairs. Any questions, comments? All right, this is the resolution to accept to apply for the Community Development Block Grant. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 59, approval of amendment 4 to the professional services agreement with Dow for the water treatment plant improvements design in the amount of $627,863.
Move to approve amendment 4 to the professional services agreement for Dow with Dow for the water treatment plant improvements design in the amount of $627,863.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins.
So, Madam Mayor, this is the contract with Dow that allows them to do the contract administration and the contract inspection for the special inspections that have to be done for the water treatment plant construction. So in the specs, it'll have all the special submittals and everything out like that that the contractor who got the bid for the project has to submit. All those have to go through engineering to make sure that they're actually meeting the drawings and the specifications. And that's what this is for. So that's, and there's so many trips back here for the special inspections that accounts for. It's per diem. It's a time for all of the engineers to go through all of the submittals to make sure that those are all submitted. They also submitted for a residential inspector, which was about the same amount. Given that cost and what it was, I'm not recommending we go with that because it was, to me, that was excessive. So I think we're going to try to do things in-house with our new person that we have for as long as we can. If we need some special inspections, we could be coming back later on where we just pay in chunks, like to get someone that's specialized for any of the, like maybe the concrete foundation or something like that. Any specialized work that has to be done, then maybe try to bring them in for those things. But we'll try to do as much in-house as we can to try to reduce that burden. But the total project cost, the total cost right here for our engineering services, it's in line with industry standard. For as much as as painful it is, it's about what the cost is for projects. It's about 10% of the total cost.
And I had some questions, but Assembly, do you have any questions?
I just have a comment.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor. I want to commend the administration for really taking a hard look at that resident cost. And some of these have been mind-blowing, I guess, to me, you know, in the past. And kind of glad we're being careful with it. So very happy to see that. The rest of it seems quite reasonable to me.
And this is proposed to be a 15-month project. And in my mind, I'm not sure about who does all the inspections. I know Dowell has subcontractors like Stanley Consultants and other subcontractors working with them. But and just for the public and for the assembly, I asked the borough manager, for instance, AWC, the manufacturers of the DAF module, do they come and inspect installation and make sure that it's operating correctly? So how does this residential inspector and construction administrator, how does all of that fit in?
There's a lot going on here. I'll just preface what I have to say in response. I'll try to give you a brief overview of how it works. And as Jeff started out saying, you know, the construction administration and inspection, that level of engagement by the engineer is required by the federal funders. First and foremost, they expect that the engineer will actually drive the construction administration. So there is a lot more engagement by the engineer on these projects than we typically have on some of our local projects, where my department would be doing the majority of the construction administration. I'll definitely be working hand-in-hand with the engineers on that. And that includes, like Jeff said, all of the inspections. And so it's the contract administration, it's the review of the submittals, it's the technical assistance with us through the contract. Because, you know, every day there's something that has, you know, potentially could be addressed and clarified by the engineer for the work that's happening on site. They'll also provide monthly inspections. They have to be here on site every time there's a pay request, which will be monthly. They have to come in and do the inspections so that their team will do that. And it'll be a mix of their professional team, depending on where we are in the project phases. So whoever has the required discipline for the work that's going on to do those inspections, they'll come in, whether it's Stanley or Stefan, who is the water treatment expert, the engineer. And then Chase is the contract administrator, primarily the project manager. So primarily Dowell and Stanley will be doing the inspections with a couple of different folks on either side. We will have some special inspections that we're waiting on the contractor to identify. Those special inspections are not included in this. These are some of the inspections that in our contract, the owner said we will provide the special inspections as identified through the contract. The contractor is supposed to work with us and do a little bit more further identification on that. That has been eliminated from this because we don't have that information yet. It's likely that we'll rely on potentially R&M engineering and their local engineers to provide that special inspection for. So that will be an additional cost. So once we have that, we'll try to get some costs together and bring that before you. We don't want to just go into it without having an idea of what those are going to look like. That is the contract administration and contract inspection for Dowell. Now the resident inspector piece of this that Jeff talked about, we took a hard look at because it was more than to provide one person for 12 months of the 15-month period, $663,000.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, it's not out of the norm for what engineers cost. Just so you know, when you look at that, that's normally what we see for engineering expense. But it's a long duration, and there is a lot of expectation that the contractor is going to work 6 or 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. And, you know, we have to have somebody on site when that work is going on. We can't leave it to chance that they're going to work over the weekend and we don't have anybody there to see what's going on. It's a $24 million project and we can't take that risk. So we have to have somebody there. In the interim, we're going to provide Santiago, our construction manager. In a meeting with USDA and EDA today, they did ask, we had to submit his resume, they have to approve it, and they asked if he would be committed to that project. And that's what they want to see. So please just know that I will be losing Santiago for all of the other projects while he is dedicated to this project daily. I am still pursuing some other options with Dowell. You may see something come back for an alternative approach, because I don't want to lose what we've gained, you know, to date with the momentum, you know, with the extra staff in our department. So I'll be working with Mason to bring something back to you. There's another outfit that I'm looking at and working with them to see if we can get a proposal from them for somebody on site that is a little more palatable financially. So we'll be working on that to bring it back to you. But we have to have someone there on a daily basis. So I just wanted to make that very clear to everyone what has been scheduled to date. So the resident inspector is really, and it's all, they're the eyes and the ears of the engineer. You know, they're not doing inspections, but they are watching the construction daily to ensure that the contractor is performing according to the plans. And they are the liaison between the engineer and the contractor and the owner. So that's what the resident inspector does. Daily logs, you know, daily communication with everyone. That's what Santiago will be doing on this project.
And then my other question was, with the resident inspector, is it like consulting with your attorney? If you call the engineer, they charge you by the hour or something? I mean, will we...
No, something to note on that. It's very important. So the Amendment 4 that you're approving tonight, we're asking to approve, that is a lump sum. And it
so
is
that's
to,
included?
It is to take care of all the needs of the project. There are many assumptions made, and if you read through their proposal, you'll see they've limited the number of submittals, they've limited the number of RFIs, and we actually asked them to do that to... clearly identify what is in their proposal so that if their project requires them to do more than that, we can pay them additionally as opposed to having a lump sum that has higher expectations of work they'll do and then they don't do it and then we're paying them for the higher rate that they don't, they are not performing. So we asked them to limit it and detail it very critically. We were very critical about looking at that. So we can go through just like we do with a contractor. If they're, you know, if there's more work for them to do, you know, oftentimes we'll put out a project knowing that there's some unknowns or there's some things that need to be done that we can't fully identify. We're willing to pay that later, you know, as opposed to paying a lump sum price to get it all done and then, you know, we're paying more than for more than what actually is performed. So it's in our best interest to have some of these unknowns identified and pay for them later if we need it, and as we need it.
So. I understand. And for the public, it's 20 pages worth of detail for this one item. Yeah. So it is a very expansive project. Mm-hmm. And for the public, what is happening now? We broke ground. What does that mean?
So, you know, we're getting started in the winter, which is not normal. You know, I have to... applaud MCG Constructors and thank them for their diligence in getting us where we are today. With them waited, they waited 2 months to get while we found the funding to move this project forward. And then once we approved their contract, they waited a month to receive that contract and a notice to proceed. While they didn't have a contract in hand, they swiftly moved forward, started sending in submittals, getting things going so they can put things into motion and get their crews lined out, you know, rentals secured for their crews to live in and whatnot. So today, their subcontractor who's doing the clearing and the grubbing and the site work, all the site work mobilized onto the site. So they are starting with the clearing and grubbing on the site, which there's not a lot of grubbing, but there's somewhat. But primarily they're going in to remove the trees that's on the rock bluff that they're going to be scraping and blasting eventually. That's primarily where the footprint of the new building is going to go. Doing some site clearing where we're going to have some stockpile of materials that needs to happen. So a lot of that's what's happening right now, just the initial site prep and then the clearing and grubbing. They're hoping to get through that and... weather allowing, get through the clearing and grubbing, the blasting, and potentially excavating for the building before the end of December.
Wow.
To be ready to pour concrete footings in January. And they are prepared to do winter concrete pouring. So they've got, you know, it's according to, you know, a certain spec, and they've got to meet that. So they're still working on their concrete plan, but that's the immediate plan and what's happening.
All right. The public wanted to know, so that now they know.
Yes.
This is good.
And if I can just put another little plug, Jeff said it already, but I'm going to say it again because you can never say this too many times. Please, as the public is coming out of the hospital access road, the trucks coming off that road from the hillside have the right of way. So please be aware of any trucks coming out, and please give them the right of way because they have that there. There actually won't be a lot of truck traffic to start with. As soon as that truck traffic is starting, there will be signs out notifying the public that trucks are in the area and they need to give way to the truck traffic. There'll also be project signs as soon as they arrive. Both EDA and USDA require their own sign, 4x8 each. So those, we'll find a place to put those. They want as much public-facing opportunity as possible. So folks will see those big signs going up eventually, too, once they get ordered and arrive on site.
Outstanding. Assembly Member Morrison?
I can't remember. Is there a stop sign when you come out of the
yield? Well, it was a yield sign.
Yeah.
We just put a stop sign there.
Okay, I was going to say
I think a lot of people still yield. At best.
Any other questions?
And then have a course.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, Assembly? All right. This is the amendment for professional services for the construction and administrative inspectors. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item F, Resolution Number 11-23-1820 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing application to the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation for a loan from the Alaska State Revolving Fund for the interim financing for the USDA RD loan for the Water Treatment Plant Improvement Project.
Move to approve Resolution Number 11-23-1820.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. An administrative report with the amount. For the public.
Madam Mayor, so what this loan does is it adds $1.961 million on to the $3.821 million for a total of $5,782,000 for the interim financing for this project. So it's the interim loan that we'll then get the full loan for afterwards.
Okay, and do we know the percentage rate? We've got three loans out there for the water treatment plant to the total of about $9.1 million. And the percentage rates are something like 1.6, 2.1, 2.7?
Yes, there's a variety of interest rates. This one, though, it's very important to note, it's interim financing, so while there is a 1.75% interest applied to this, is for 20 years, the expectation is that this loan will be paid off. It's secured basically by the USDA, two loans by the USDA, which equal the total amount of this interim loan. So basically what USDA's regulation says is that you must acquire commercial interim financing from a commercial lending institute. We went through that effort with Wells Fargo for a long time. At the time, based on a $10 million project, it was going to cost us just under $200,000 worth of interest to assume that interim loan from a commercial lender. But we were able to work with the State Revolving Loan Fund here, and they've never really done this until recently, but providing this interim financing loan for these large projects so that it's basically providing the money during the construction period so you can pay, and it's a requirement by USDA. Even though the borough probably has the capacity from our general fund or wherever funds are stored to pay for those expenditures throughout the construction phase, USDA requires that we have another set of funds to pull from to pay for that. While the project that their loan is paying for is performed. Once that work is performed and we're done, we will close this interim financing loan immediately. There will be no interest, and we will then move forward and close the USDA loan. You'll have it's a bond resolution. You'll have that before you, and you'll see all that at that time. So, no, we will not have an interest expense with this loan.
All right. So probably the maximum duration of this would be 15 months, maybe 16 months, maybe yes, not even that
long. Not even that much.
Okay.
Not even that much. And by not having this loan yet, we wouldn't really need it in place. We need it now. But USDA is saying it's fine because you're not going to actually need it until you start doing the level of work that our funds are going to cover, which is $10 million of expense away from now.
Okay.
Roughly. But they do want to see it in place as soon as possible, and DEC still needs time to work through this and move it forward. So we need it sooner rather than later.
Right. You need it tonight.
So that's where we're...
Loan has a $500,000 forgiveness factor.
Yes, that is a different DEC loan. It's from the same program as this one that you're looking at, but that one is an actual loan with the same 1.725
interest rate,
For 20 years. And they are offering up to a $500,000 subsidy forgiveness on the principal on that loan. So as opposed to a $3.8 million loan, it will now be a $3.3 million loan. So it will reduce our debt service in the long run.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For that explanation. Assembly Member DeVos.
Excuse me. I have one question. It says, while the USDA generally requires an interim financing loan to come from a commercial institution, they agreed to allow a state revolving fund loan to act as interim financing, saving the borough hundreds of thousands of dollars in costs associated with interest. So my question is, whose idea was that?
That was actually USDA's
idea.
Yeah. The director of USDA said, hey, I'm wondering, because we were giving them a lot of grief about the commercial loan that they wanted us to take out. It started with Jeff J. Bush being here, and, he just said, we have the capacity to pay for this. Why do we have to take out a loan and incur all this interest expense when we can do it? It's our regulation. And we fought it. Once Lisa von Bargen was here, we fought it and went to the delegation and just said, can you please help us identify whether this is federal regulation or is it policy by USDA? And it is federal regulation. So I think there's some, wanting to do some favors for the commercial lending institutions a little bit going on there. I don't know. But anyway, Robert Chambers came up with this plan, called the SRF program and talked to the director there and said, would you consider doing interim financing through the SRF program? And they said, we've never done it before, but let's try it out. So,
awesome.
Yeah, we're one of the first ones to do that with them.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments, Assembly?
Just
Assembly
comment.
Member Morrison?
You just really have to hand it to everybody that worked on this. It is so interlocked. it is so interwoven, but it's amazing.
Yeah, just for one item, 20 pages of documents. Mm-hmm. And that's not even getting into all the construction documents. So a tremendous amount of time.
Congratulations.
And attention to detail. And thank you for saving money. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
DeVore?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Merrifield?
Yes. And item G, here's another good item, Assembly. Approval of a contract with Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry Incorporated in the amount of $824,450 for the non-motorized transportation system project.
Move to authorize negotiation of project scope and price for the non-motorized transportation system with Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry, Inc., with the intent to enter into a sole source contract not to exceed $850,000.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Report, please.
So, Madam Mayor, just get a little bit of history on this. They were the only ones that bid on it at the time. They were well above what the estimate was. FLAP actually said that we can negotiate directly. The assembly gave us approval to negotiate directly. And then we were able to come in within the project scope. So great work. Good job by Amber to get that done. I really appreciate Ketchikan Ready Mix working with us to get this project done and moving forward.
And this is another project starting soon in December, as far as they can go.
Hopefully.
And this is for the public. This is the Dewey Trail Extension Project.
Plus the rebuild.
Yes.
Grant funded too.
Grant, totally grant funded.
Mostly.
All right. Any questions or comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Audison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Mayor Phillips.
Yes. Attorney's file is available for review. And item 15A, executive session discussion regarding the upcoming collective bargaining union, IBEW process and procedures.
I move pursuant to AKA 44.66.310C3 that we go into executive session and invite both the borough attorney and the interim borough manager to discuss the upcoming collective bargaining process and procedure with the matter by law required to be confidential.
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Powell, a second by Morrison, and we are also going to invite the borough clerk to the executive session. Any discussion, Assembly? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We will now recess into executive session at 7:06 p.m.
Where I came from when they had like these